If you remember last week's gospel reading, you will notice some eerie similarities, some parallels, and some connections. Both readings are from Luke, both from the first chapter. Both are announcements of unlikely and unexpected childbearing. Last week, it was the elderly Zechariah and Elizabeth, told to expect the birth of their son, John, who we would know as John the Baptist. This week, it's the unwed, engaged Virgin Mary, told to expect a son to be called Jesus. Both Elizabeth and Mary are said to be related, cousins. Mary's visit from Gabriel occurs in the sixth month, that is, the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Both conceptions are miraculous. The work of the loving God of Israel, taking action in the course of human history to redeem a lost and broken world. Both announcements are delivered by an angel, a messenger from this God whose name is Gabriel. Gabriel is given this task of sharing similar news to both Zechariah and Mary. Both announcements from the same angel, with a very similar delivery, are met by their hearers with a question and a reason for asking. From Zechariah, the question, "How will I know this is so?" And the reason, "For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." From Mary, the question is, "How can this be?" The reason, "For I am a virgin." As numerous as the similarities between these two episodes run, there's also a peculiar and conspicuous difference. Zechariah is muted, silenced for the duration of his wife's pregnancy, as a kind of punishment for his question, his disbelief in Gabriel's news. Mary receives no such censure, no punishment. Sure, their situations are different. Maybe that can account for the differences in what happens to them. Zechariah was a priest, a holy man, a member in good standing of a respectable religious order. He was diligent and obedient in performing his turn of ritual duties in the Lord's sanctuary. I guess you could say that Zechariah ought to have known better than to question the Lord's capacity to bring about a childbirth to an elderly couple well beyond their childbearing years. But wasn't that precisely the way that Isaac came to be born to Abraham and Sarah? Wasn't that precisely the way God created and began this nation of Israel that Zechariah knew and loved and served? Mary is quite different from Zechariah. Mary is of much more humble origins. Faithful, devout, good family and all that, fiancé actually distantly related to the family of the great King David. But still, Mary is a simple girl, and not the same religious background and experience as a priest like Zechariah. Perhaps Gabriel doesn't expect Mary to be so astute about the ways of her faith, or as spot-on confident in her religious knowledge. And of course, Mary has a far greater burden to bear in this whole situation. Zechariah's reputation and social standing are secure. There's no shame for him. He's married. He can father a child even in his old age, and he doesn't really have to do very much in terms of bearing a child. But Mary has to bear the Son of God for 9 months. She needs to be discovered with child before her marriage and figure out some way of explaining this to her fiancé and her family and hope that they believe her and don't disown her. Yes, Mary's burden in this whole situation is quite a bit heavier. And perhaps Gabriel could afford to cut Mary some slack and not be quite so critical or punishing of her questioning, for wondering how God could work such a miracle through her. I would also have you notice the difference in Zechariah's and Mary's queries. Zechariah asks, "How will I know that this is so?" Mary asks, "How can this be?" How will I know versus how can this be? The two questions are substantively and fundamentally different. Zechariah seems to be asking for certainty. How will I know? How can I be certain that this is the work of God? How do I know, Gabriel, that you aren't just pulling my leg? Mary seems to be more amazed at the process that's going on, of the process of divine intervention. How can this be? For I'm supposed to give birth to God's child when I'm not even married. You might even say there's a difference in the two questions because that Mary's question reveals a healthy dose of skepticism, maybe even doubt. Zechariah could be granting the possibility of divine miracle. That yes, God, you can do such things, but I want to know. You can certainly create the conception of a child in an elderly couple, but it's his demand for personal proof that sounds rather arrogant. How will I know? As if his need for certainty was more important than God's activity. Mary, on the other hand, is far more pliable to be employed in the service of God. As improbable as it may seem to Mary to conceive a child without a husband, she's open to whatever God may be able to do through her. Let it be with me according to your word. So I want to suggest that a take-home message from Mary's and Gabriel's distinctive responses to Gabriel's news might be that in matters of holy Christian faith, trust is more important than certainty. Our trust in God, trust in God's goodness, trust in God's mercy, trust in God's covenant promises, promises to Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and David and Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary. Trust in God's promises to redeem this world from its sin and to make it a kingdom of Jesus Christ. Our trust in God's never-ending love, trust that God can and will see us through even our darkest days and bring us to the fullness of eternal life. That trust is far more important than God conforming to the limited confines of human knowledge and certainty and comprehensibility. It is the nature of the beast that is sin to believe that we know as much as God knows. After all, the original sin was to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, knowledge of good and evil. Original sin was our attempt to know what God knows. And as a result, we prefer to believe that what defines God's character is only what makes sense to us. For us to believe that what we know to be logical and reasonable and in consideration of all the facts as we know them is what God also knows. We are excessively uncomfortable with mystery, even God's mystery. We're exceedingly uncomfortable thinking that someone else knows something that we don't. Uncomfortable with choices and actions and beliefs we do not understand, based on facts that we do not know. We're uncomfortable with the notion that God forgives what we find too hard to forgive, saves who we deem unworthy of God's salvation gift, is more gracious than we can imagine anyone being. We prefer in sin, we prefer that God sticks to what makes sense to us. Not much more, not much less. We prefer to believe that God hates the evils that we hate and is as oblivious to sins, our sins, as we are to our own. We prefer it that God wants the same things that we want, that God's will meets our approval, thus preserves the illusion that we know the essential truths of good and evil, and that we are ultimately in control of them, because we have the same mind as God. But in so doing, in confining God to the limits of human knowledge and reason, sin-sick human knowledge and reason, I might add, by confining God to those limits, we are far, far, far dramatically shortchanging God's capacities for miracle and mystery and world-saving power and work. Most of the Jewish experts of Jesus' day did not know Jesus as the Messiah the prophets had told them to expect. There was too much ambiguity, too much of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, but still in unexpected ways. They couldn't imagine their long-expected God-anointed king coming in such a humble way and having such subversive, controversial beliefs. We are also naive to think that we are immune to the same mistakes of demanding certainty of who God is and who Jesus is, over trust in allowing Jesus to be who he really is. To be citizens of God's creation is not to know everything for certain. Some ways of God are simply beyond human knowledge and understanding and certainty. Trust is more important than certainty. In this life, we are far more likely to encounter situations where trust is a far more useful thing than knowing. We do not know, and we cannot determine with certainty why bad things happen to perfectly good people, and why bad people seem to prosper at times. We do not know why, and we cannot explain to anybody's satisfaction. Why does God allow innocent children to contract fatal diseases? Why do people we love, of any age, suffer or die unexpectedly or prematurely through accidents or illness? Why do innocent people suffer in natural disasters? We do not know why, and we cannot understand why God allows evil and hatred and sin to still exert so much influence in our world and harm so many lives, when we also understand that Jesus has risen to combat and conquer sin and evil and death. We do not know fully why Jesus had to die on a cross, or how his death and resurrection forgive our sin, and how they begin the process of restoring our lives and reconciling us to God. We do not know for certain why these great mysteries happen and why they are. But we trust. We trust that Jesus is in control. We trust that God is active and working in our world and in our lives, even in the dark and scary and infuriatingly unfair situations. We trust that God is present and caring for us and loving us, even in times of horrifying tragedy. We trust that God is bringing our lives and our world to becoming that glorious and righteous and perfect kingdom he envisions it to be, even if we can't understand exactly how it is that God is doing it all. We trust that God is doing his work, even if we don't know for certain how it's all going to come about. God patently refuses to adhere strictly to the airtight doctrinal formulations of our human knowledge, to which we may attempt to confine him. Thank God, he is far more forgiving than we are. Thank God he is more forgiving, especially of the sins we don't want to admit to others that we have. Even the sins we can't even admit to ourselves. Thank God he cures and heals and performs miracles far beyond the capacities of medicine and scientific knowledge that he's already granted us. Thank God he inspires true faith and causes real salvation more than our capacities to bring those things about, and more than we think are deserved. And thank God, he is far, far more than we know and understand. Far, far more than we can even imagine God being. Amen.